With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. This is our post-game episode. And for the first time in 5 weeks, we're coming to you after a Nittany Lions victory, 31-14, the final score in College Park. Penn State scoring the final 17 of this matchup to pull away from a contest that was tied early on in the fourth quarter. Jahan Dotson, of course, dazzling performance, doing all the heavy lifting here. 242 receiving yards, setting a school record, coming on 11 catches, three touchdowns. He had a 45-yard catch on the other scoring drive for this offense, which was a field goal drive in the fourth quarter. Had his hand in everything they did offensively, Sean. And then Jair Brown, second time in Big Ten action that he's closed the door on an opposing quarterback with a red zone interception. This one taking it all the way back, 87 yards, putting the final touches on a 17-point win. Penn State back in that win column. And Jahan Dotson just making an absolute statement about where he stands in 2021 and where he stands all time in Nittany Lions football.
Yeah, really remarkable performance. I think we both expected a big game from Jahan this weekend. I don't know that we expected a record-setting game. Broke Deion Butler's single-game record for Penn State, having yards in a game by a receiver. So pretty incredible there. You mentioned he had a hand in everything Penn State did on offense. He had a hand in everything good Penn State did on offense. Yeah. He was spectacular. I mean, just you can't say enough about his performance. When Penn State was tied 14-14, you kind of looked and thought, okay, this is basically the Illinois game playing itself out once again. And then you saw him streaking down the field for an 86, 87 yard touchdown. I don't know. They're both longer than I want to run. So he was just incredible. First down after first down, big play after big play. I don't think we appreciate how good Jahan Dotson is nearly enough on this show. And in general, just because he's one of the top five receivers in program history. He showed it again tonight. And he showed it in the last 2 weeks because he's put up some major numbers.
And I'll reiterate that his progression from where he was coming into this program to where he will be leaving the program is one of the more impressive ascensions I've seen on any college football roster in recent years. It's not to say he wasn't a four-star prospect, because he was, but he was on the fringe of being a top 50 receiver in composite rankings, I believe, by the end of that process. Overshadowed in his own class by a couple other guys in the position, but you know, came on strong as Mr. Consistency early, and then all the explosive traits really started to build up during his career, and everything was on display. Because when you now attach this athleticism, that ability that he has just really sharpened in his 4 years on campus, with the precision that he brings and the professional approach that he already had at receiver, and that was kind of what made him special right off the bat, being able to contribute as a true freshman because he was very reliable. Those two things have married in a big way. He's taken it on as a leader now with the program, and he has turned into just such the value you have gotten out of Jahan Dotson during his Penn State career is just so far and beyond where I thought it would be. And especially coming in as a member of that 2018 recruiting class, which had star after star after star, many of them listed ahead of him on those signing day rankings.
You just think back, and we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, because he was at a camp in Jersey. Penn State did their satellite run that year where they were hitting up all these high schools and doing camps with other programs. He was at the camp. Art Sitkowski, who is now one of the Illinois quarterbacks who's still recovering from the injury from the Penn State game, was there. Alan Walters was there, thrown to him. Jahan looked like a kid, just looked like a little kid, except when he went and ran routes and just ran circles around everybody else. So you think about the development that he's put in the last couple of years, and he's still a skinny receiver. He's still a guy that when he's going to be talked about as one of the top receivers in the draft, as he should be, they're going to come back on his frame. They're going to come back on all these slights and try and pick holes in his game. But then you go out and watch him, catches everything. We talked about this last week. The plays that he doesn't come up with, you're surprised, even if it would have been a spectacular catch, because he has made that play so routinely. And just everything that he does is just routine. It's so much fun to watch. It's such a big part of this offense, and you don't want to play the where would they be without him, but him coming back for this year put them in a position to be where they're at right now.
Just remarkable to get him back for this team. And you're right. You don't want to play that game right now for this Penn State offense. And when I think about Dotson, just quickly going back to some of the roots of his recruitment and where he was, I was at maybe the second, third game of his junior year. Remember, he was at the Petty School that year, in between his finishing and starting his career in Pennsylvania. And I remember watching him play, but you're right. He didn't jump off the field out there like some elite athlete. You knew he had the Power Five offers already. He was early on in his junior year. I think Penn State had already offered at that point. But you have some questions. The 40-yard dash, that didn't really confirm things for you. And just like I think a week after I saw him play his junior year, he had a significant injury and was lost for the season. So I really didn't know. I kind of put Jahan Dotson on the back burner with that 2018 recruiting class. He surfaced pretty quickly. He ends up starting games. Never did I think it would get to the point where he's going back-to-back weeks, 11 catches. Here is the stat sheet from the last two games combined, Sean. It's really remarkable. Two games on the road in the Big Ten, Ohio State last week, Maryland this Saturday. 22 receptions, 369 receiving yards, three touchdowns through the air. He had the rushing touchdown at Ohio State, and you saw a lot of people making statements today. A lot of people who know what they're talking about saying, we really need to start calling this guy the best player in, or the best receiver in college football. Or if you're calling somebody else that, you need to put Jahan Dotson in the conversation.
Just to be in the conversation is incredible, because you're never going to line these guys up beside each other and see who's the top. I mean, you look at the Big Ten today. David Bell was phenomenal once again against the top five team. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I think is the most talented Ohio State receiver, had 15 catches. So these guys are just going out there and balling out. And it's been really incredible for that group. And for Dotson, and you know, just on his own, he's really developed into, you know, a mid-second day pick into that first round conversation. We will see how he tests. We will see how he continues to bounce back. But those numbers that you just shared with us are pretty ridiculous, because he's absolutely going out there and playing some incredible football right now. Once again, 11 catches, 242 yards, three touchdowns, including that big, big one that just blew. It didn't blow the game open, but really, really covered the wound for Penn State after giving up that touchdown, that two-point conversion.
Yeah, Jahan Dotson, by the way, entered today as the Big Ten's receptions leader. He's now got 71 catches, 932 yards, and nine touchdowns receiving here in 2021 through the first nine games. And certainly going to be fun to watch how it stacks up for him in the draft next year. Because, by the way, that 4.33, 40-yard dash that is looming from last winter, if he comes close to confirming that on a bigger stage in front of NFL scouts, look out for his NFL draft stock. But going back to this passing game as a whole, clearly Sean Clifford leaning on Jahan Dotson in a big way. He goes over 350 yards through the air. A lot of explosive plays, but really the first explosive play through the air, before we talk about some of the others for Jahan Dotson, including the 86-yard touchdown that gave them the lead for good. Keandre Lambert-Smith came up with a 30-yard reception on the play before Jahan Dotson got open for that 38-yard catch. This was a matchup where Maryland was playing cover zero, and they said, all right, we're not going to supply that support deep. What do you got? And we saw Penn State take a lot of shots, 52 pass attempts. I'm sorry, less than that. That was last week, 47 pass attempts for Sean Clifford. So not much less, but 47 pass attempts coming off a 52 pass attempt performance at Ohio State. So asking Sean Clifford to heave it, 20 incompletions today. That's a lot for him compared to where he's been from an accuracy standpoint. But you figure Maryland's going to let you take your shots. You should take them. And no turnovers today. It's not like Clifford was throwing those balls errantly into coverage. He was taking those shots toward the end zone, toward the sideline. Didn't connect on all of them, but the ones they connected on, they were 35-plus yards, and they were backbreakers for the Maryland Terrapins.
He had a couple of good throwaways. He did get close to getting a pick. I think it was on the second drive of the game. Hit the guy made a nice break on the ball, hit him in the chest. But, just not – not the sharpest game that he's had. You think back to some, even the first drive, Penn State went three and out, a little bit high to Parker. I think it was Parker Washington there on the
first two drives. They went three and out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was not ideal. I mean, you go three and out once against Ohio State, then you come out the first two drives against Maryland. You think, oh boy, here we go. So, they were able to bounce back. Clifford. Yeah. He's not the guy that's going to go out there and convert 30 of 35 or whatever it's going to be, because he's a guy that needs to create and do some things like that. And I don't think his level of creativity or his accuracy when he's on the run is as good as it used to be. I don't know what has changed, but I'm sure the injury probably has something to do with it. There were a couple balls that he floated to Parker Washington. And you think about, you know, a couple of these throughout the season where throughout the 2019 season, where he completes that ball just over the defense and you get a big play out of it. Those aren't hitting right now for whatever reason. Parker Washington also, what did he have? 2 catches for 16 yards today on 8 targets, which is very, very out of character for Parker Washington. I don't know if he wasn't seeing the ball well. He looked off all day. Did have a big first down pickup there in the second half, and that was certainly extended the drive and helped Penn State's 4-minute offense. But I don't think he was himself. But going back to Keandre Lambert-Smith, he did have the big drop, but he did also have the big play that set up the touchdown.
And the thing that you're seeing here on a trend with Keandre Lambert-Smith is now 4 straight games where he's got a 20-plus yard reception for Penn State. In 5 of the 9 games this year, Sean, he's got a 30-plus yard catch. You're getting everything you could ask for from wide receiver 3. Today he was more like wide receiver 2. You're right, it was out of sync with Parker Washington. But you saw a lot of guys involved in this past game. The running backs were heavily involved. A couple catches for Kevon Lee, including a 13-yard gain. Noah Cain had a 16-yard gain through the air. Going to talk about those running backs in a moment, but Theo Johnson had a key 17-yard gain on a 3rd and 15 situation. So spreading the wealth, Malik Mega, a name that we have mentioned here fairly recently on the podcast, is someone to watch in that wide receiver room. Second-year player, was injured during training camp, 6'4", 200 pounds, fast, can run straight line speed. Came out there, he got his first career catch, a 3-yard gain, and so it remains a name to know, but it was obviously front-loaded as usual, but you got to like the way it was spread about. 242 for Jahan, and I think everybody else had about 120. But there was some involvement, and I thought that was particularly important on third down as Clifford was able to spread the ball in key situations. 10 of 18 today on third down. That is the second consecutive week in which they are over 50% on third down, and that is just a tremendous swing of the pendulum from where they were prior.
And it's pretty crazy when you consider their average distance to go was 8.2 yards there. So 4 for 4 on 3rd and shorts. Obviously, we can talk about the 4th and short that did not work. But the 3rd down conversions, very impressive the last couple of weeks. They've gotten where they need to be. Clifford 9 of 16 for 119 yards on 3rd downs. And for their 10 conversions, 8 of them were by the pass, which won't surprise anybody, but at the same time did a really, really nice job extending drives, doing what they had to do. And that's really been the difference in the last couple of weeks, is that you're keeping your defense off the field. You're doing some good things in that manner and just extending plays, extending drives, getting yourself where you need to be. There's a big 3rd down. I think it was Keandre Lambert-Smith that picked up the big 3rd down. You talked about the big gain, but the big 3rd down that he picked up, that was just a 6 or 7 yard gain. Still, those plays are huge. They add up, and they get just time after time, they add up. And, that's eventually one of those things that broke Maryland. It's not so much that Jahan Dotson was going to be involved, but you give them enough chances to get Jahan Dotson involved, he's going to kill you.
And Jahan Dotson's involvement hasn't necessarily been the problem. It has been Jahan Dotson's the efficiency of getting that ball in his hands when you're targeting him. And that was not an issue today. According to the official stat sheet, just breaking it down here, and targets are a little tricky coming right out of these games with the stat sheets. But what we've got in front of us, Clifford 16 of 32, Sean, when targeting everybody else, 11 of 15 when targeting Jahan Dotson. And obviously, 3 touchdowns coming by way of looking in that direction as well. I mean, just what a get on my back, let's get a win and go home performance from Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, I mean, it's we could sit here all day and talk about Jahan Dotson. We probably should, as a you're certainly.
Let's do it again Monday. Pencil it in. Do it again Monday.
We'll come back and confirm that Jahan Dotson is really good at football after looking at the tape. By the way, 11 targets to running backs today, 4 targets to Theo Johnson, 0 to Brenton Strange, which is a surprise. I know they tried to work him in on some of those motion across the formation and get him into the flat, but it just was not there. But just a surprising number, because Brenton Strange has been a pretty big part of this passing attack. But going back to what I said, 11 targets for the running backs. Obviously wanted to get them involved to make that passing game an extension of the run game. The run game was a little better today, but nothing worth writing home about. It's another way to get those guys involved. And we saw a lot more from Noah Cain.
This was a true kind of rotational approach where they stuck with it. series by series, and it ended up with everybody being involved. And the two guys that we had focused in coming into the week, Noah Kane, Kevon Lee, and coming off the conversation with Jaywon Sider, running backs coach for this team on Thursday, those guys are in the spotlight for different reasons. Can Kevon Lee figure out how to play running back and use his skill set to his advantage? Can Noah Kane escape the mental ghosts that have been stuck with him and break through some physical barriers coming off an injury? I don't think you saw anything definitive, but you saw a step forward, and we've been looking for any sign of that from this rushing attack. Kevon Lee, 8 carries, 50 yards. This is 6.3 average. Went for 15 on one of those plays. I mentioned he had a 13-yard reception. That was on the same possession, Sean. 13-yard catch, 15-yard run from a running back in the same possession. That's unheard of right now in 2021. And Noah Kane, he had a really big possession in this matchup. The one that ended at the 33-yard line, I think, for Maryland. And they brought in Tyler Warren. They dialed it up, what I've been calling for, on fourth and short. And it didn't work. And Tyler Warren was stuffed before he could get that first down. Noah Kane, that series, 7 touches, almost 40 yards. I think on the game he ended up, I'm looking here, 14 touches for 63 yards. It's nothing that is going to steal the headlines, but it is, again, a step forward for Noah Kane. Interestingly enough here, the least efficient out of the three guys involved heavily in the rotation was John Lovett, who got his first start in a Penn State uniform. 7 carries, 24 yards. I think on the first possession, he lost like 7 Ooh. Total yards because he caught a, he like worked really hard to catch a pass behind the line of scrimmage. So not his best day, even though he got the start. But hey, signs of life from Noah Kane, good for him. And Kevon Lee asserting himself a bit. And like you said, Penn State dialing these guys up in the past game. This was more of a vocal point, this running back group, than they've been for a long time. I'm probably looking back to the Indiana game, which is the last time this team won a game.
The 7-yard loss on the first drive was just like, I know it's easier to criticize, sit here and criticize because you're not in the heat of the moment, but he was basically on the ground and caught the ball, put him right behind the sticks once again, and they were unable to recover. You look at Penn State's run game and running backs by extension, of course, this season, and you'll take what you can get and you'll take baby steps. And they were not a liability today and certainly not a standout or anything like that. And I don't, and you have it written down here about the best running back game since Indiana. I mean, I'm not going to really waste time talking about that because it still needs to be better. It's still not where you need to be. You should not be lining up 4th and 1.5 with Tyler Warren back there because you don't have the confidence that a running back can get the short yardage. I mean, that's kind of the microcosm of where this whole thing is at, right? I mean, you're going out there running a tight end out there, and it's worked before, no doubt about it, but you're really limiting your playbook. You're really limiting yourself and what you can do. And what you're saying is you don't have the confidence that those guys can't get you a yard, and that's going to have a ripple effect on the rest of the offense. And we saw that today, because that could have been a very, very bad turning point for Penn State. Maryland not quite able to capitalize on that, but still, at the same time, if you're running a third string tight end out there, there's some stuff you can do, but you should be able to get a yard without that.
And a lot of the production that I went through with those running backs occurred in the first three quarters, almost entirely. What you saw in the fourth quarter was kind of not getting to the end of the storyline. And that's a great thing. If you're Jaywon Sider, you didn't get exposed to it. Maybe these guys would have come through, but you didn't have to rely on a 4-minute offense to kill the clock and conserve a late lead in this matchup. It didn't come down to that. You had Jair Brown coming up with a pick six to put this one away. You also had Jahan Dotson when this game got tied, and you said, can you find some balance offensively, take some of the pressure off Sean Clifford, get a drive going? Well, two plays later, Jahan Dotson goes 86 yards, and you figured that out really quick, and you took the lead. So it's like three quarters of positive momentum was generated, I think, overall, comparatively, relatively speaking, about the running back room. And then the fourth quarter, you can say they got bailed out by Jahan Dotson and Jair Brown, or you can say Penn State just played complimentary football, but it was not a finished storyline. It didn't really end up hinging in the running back success. And there have been times this year where they could come through in the fourth quarter, probably not talking about a loss, and it just didn't come down to that in this case.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You still want more out of it. Penn State had 2 carries over 10 yards today. That's not, you know, what Penn State fans have been accustomed to over the years. But given where this where this rushing game has been, you'll take that. Kevon Lee had a big 11-yard carry there in the fourth quarter as you're trying to run your 4-minute offense with about 10 minutes left to go.
And this Maryland defense, look back at recent games. It's not like this is not really the litmus test for if you're trying to take stock in the running back market for Penn State in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. But they got it done. They did. You know, this is our win as a win podcast, as we have grown to come to. I mean, just watching this game, I was sitting there and thinking, what kind of metaphor do you make up for a game like this? And of course, I went back to drinking, as I often do, but as I sometimes do. Like, this game is kind of like the anti-hangover. So you go out at night, you have a good time, you feel really great, and then you wake up the next morning, you don't feel great. I mean, watching this team is, for four quarters, you feel pretty bad, and then they can go out and make you feel better about yourself with a pick six and running away from it. You cover, which I didn't really see that one coming, but they did a really nice job with that. So you feel a little bit better, but you're still going to have a bit of a headache coming out of that. So I don't know if that's the right metaphor, but just to watch this game for three and a quarter quarters, Penn State's got some work to do to sort of right this ship.
When you said you were trying to come up with a metaphor and you just went right to drinking, I figure you just said, skip the metaphor, I'm going to start drinking, which, you know, it's an issue.
Three and a half quarters, that really got the, you know, it would have gotten a good job done if I did that. Yeah.
I'd imagine some of our listening audience adopted that approach during this matchup. And Sean, when we look over at the defense, it's another podcast here where we're not getting to the defense quickly enough, but we didn't think that Maryland would be able to run the ball. They didn't. They were held under 50 rushing yards in this matchup. We talked about it on the pregame show. It's going to come down to these two passing attacks. Maryland's shorthanded in that department. Dante Dimas is a special player that they don't have. Jahan Dotson's a special player that they do have, and they have other weapons. That won the day, but I think defensively the story is, again, red zone success. 2 of 5 where the Maryland Terrapins are producing points and trips to the red zone. They had that one trip where they got to like the 18-yard line, and then a disaster struck on third down. They lost 18 yards and a loss of down. There was a intentional grounding call against Tagovailoa. So that was one example. But then there were two turnovers, an errant snap that Jair Brown jumped on after it bounced around the backfield for the Terrapins. That was in the red zone. And then Jair Brown came up with another takeaway and jumping the route and going 86 yards or 87 yards, I'm sorry, and closing this one out. So already came into this matchup as the most efficient red zone defense in the Big Ten, I believe, in Power 5 football, if I'm not mistaken. 2 of 5 today for Maryland. Those were their 14 points, and Penn State actually produced points off of those red zone defensive opportunities.
Yeah, and they actually got some help from the offense. So, yeah, I'm sure they're feeling a little bit better about that offensive attack than they have in the last 3 weeks. So that's been that was good to see. The turnovers, you know, I don't want to say they were coming, but, you know, that was one of those things. Brisker had a pick a couple plays before that was negated by a Joey Porter holding call. So it seemed to be coming along. Tagovailoa, we said very hot and cold. He thought he looked really good today.
We saw both today. We saw a little bit of both.
We did see a little bit of both. 41 of 57, 371 yards. When you throw that much, probably going to get yardage totals like that. Touchdown and the pick. But the pick is what did it. Jair Brown racing the other way. Haven't seen too many as smooth as that. I mean, he swooped right in and he was gone. I mean, when he caught that ball, he was gone. I mean, there was nobody that was going to touch him, and that makes you feel pretty good about that. But that this defense came up big once again. The safeties were good. I thought Brandon Smith played a pretty good game. You know, would like to take another look at that, but I thought he played a good game. Arnold Ebiketie had a sack. They did not have Jesse Lucchetta. Jonathan Sutherland also didn't play, which meant Jalen Reed was pushed into action for his fourth game of the season. So a bunch of different guys stepping up. Derek Tangelo was involved as well. You know, you thought the worst when he went down early in the game, but he was able to come back. So there's a bunch of guys that really stood out for Penn State's defense, and that's kind of been the story of the season. You said we took so long to get to them. We've kind of taken them for granted as the side that's going to carry things, and then we'll speak up on the offense and figure out try and decipher what's going on, what's great, what's bad, all that kind of stuff. So the offense kind of is going to share the space here. But the defense, once again, did what they did. They made some adjustments. There were a couple drives where Tagovailoa was just really, really good and really on, and Penn State was playing that zone, and he found the spots in the zone. But in the end, they made the plays they had to make. They got a little bit lucky with that snap that Brown was able to hop on as well. But sometimes that's what happens when you have a good defense.
Yeah, Jair Brown, 4 interceptions this season. That's an impressive number at safety for Penn State. Over the years, I can't think of a total at this point in the season. Specifically, 4 interceptions is a big number for him. And the other takeaway today as well, Brandon Smith, who you mentioned, 2.5 tackles for loss each in the first half. I thought in terms of first halves, this was about as good as we've seen Brandon Smith coming out of the gates and playing in a matchup and standing out, looking like a difference maker. And Jaquan Brisker, I mean, you talked about that interception being wiped off the board, but another tackle for loss where he comes flying in, just seems to show up on the field where eliminating opportunities in space. And that the play of that tandem, Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown, we've talked a lot about Jaquan Brisker, maybe what he's done for his draft stock, sticking around for an extra year with that eligibility. And I know we've talked about Jair Brown, you know, guys, we think he'll be back next year, but game by game, I wonder about this Lackawanna tandem, if they might be both headed for professional football, because Jair Brown's come and he played and he's lived up to what we've heard in the preseason. Been fun watching this tandem play, and I think Penn State fans specifically can appreciate what that looks like, the communication, the cohesion at that safety position for these two starters.
And I think he's probably better than we expected in the offseason. We talked about that, that really just all – offseason long, could they find a safety to pair with Brisker? And obviously Brown's done a tremendous job to fill in. You mentioned the turnover numbers. This defense as a whole, we talked about how Penn State won the day with third down conversions going 10 of 18. Maryland was 4 of 15.
Yeah. Right?
27%, 3 of 10 for 26 yards. Passing on third down, that's where you get it done. And, you know, Penn State's defense was able to step up, sort of clamp down, and maybe you're playing with some bend but don't break within a four down set. And that's really how Penn State was able to get them out. And what was it, five drives, 5 punts to start the game? You know, the defense, once again, we're going to probably crack down on some of those passing numbers, 371 yards. But at the same time, they had a lot of opportunities to do so. And you know, this defense, once again, 14 points, should be able to get it done in a Big Ten game. And this time, fortunately for Penn State, they were able to do that.
And I'll tell you what, 57 pass attempts, the longest completion for Maryland, 20 yards. A couple 20-yard completions, nothing beyond that. And ultimately held to 9 yards per pass completion. Penn State in that department, about 13.5 yards per pass completion between Sean Clifford and his receivers, most notably, of course, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, and they got some help with some drops. And then, you know, sugarcoat that. Maryland in a position that they are as the team that's trying to pull the upset, can't have those drops. The center exchange, in which turned into a fumble. That's the margin of error. And if you're not the more talented team, you can't have that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be guys kicking themselves for mistakes like that all night.
Conversely, the storyline in College Park is yet another game. The opportunity's there. Maryland can find some kind of springboard and they fall short. They get in their own way. They stumble, they bumble. That's a topic that they have to cover down there in College Park. But for Penn State to go down there, pick up this win, James Franklin works the recruiting scene down there a little bit while they're making the trip. And you come back home and you no longer have to hear all offseason that you lost to the Maryland Terrapins the year before.
Yeah, that's a territorial war right there. And as I said in the podcast earlier this week, some not very nice things back and forth from that. You know, just that's recruiting. You know, I mean, I don't get offended by it. It's kind of how it works with everybody. But you can bet that there are people that have heard about this one since the end of the game. So continue to assert yourself as, you know, when you're the dominant program in the region, you can have to continue to assert yourself as that. And a win like this, while it's not 59-0, you know, it's still going to look pretty good in the box score, you know, on Monday morning.
Penn State improved to 6-3. The Michigan Wolverines are coming to town next Saturday. And by the way, Michigan right now up on Indiana 29-7. So it looks like they're well on their way to 8-1. Michigan State getting upset today by Purdue. Purdue seems to pull this off every few weeks. And you know, the Big Ten East is shifting. It's not thrusting Penn State back into contention, but some matchups here in November to kind of dictate how the narrative goes as we get toward December and postseason possibilities. And from 5-3, you can really create something that looks a lot different here in the next few weeks, starting with this win. But Sean, it was a mess at the end of the first half. And if this game flips and Maryland pulls off the win, we're talking about a lot of things differently. And we're probably leading off with them leaving points off the board potentially at the end of the first half, which James Franklin explained it was the first or second thing brought up in the post game, as you'd imagine. And he basically described it as they wanted to get to the locker room and make their adjustments. They gained more yards than they anticipated. They had a conversation and they said, no, we're still going to take our timeouts and go to the locker room. And of course, Maryland comes out and gets the ball to start things off in the third quarter.
Yeah, Franklin often talks about what the middle eight or whatever, the last 4 minutes of the of the first half, the first 4 minutes of the second half, and Penn State lost that one decidedly. But yeah, it is funny because we talk about the run game, and that's kind of where they padded their stats. So they added 25, 30 yards, something like that on the ground. Just a lack of confidence there, I feel like. You know, I know he wanted to get to the locker room, make those changes and things like that. It almost feels to me like you're coaching not to turn the ball over. You don't want to give up that big splash play, and I get that. But at the same time, that's a lack of assertiveness that you probably don't want on your program as a whole. So I think that that's concerning right there, just kind of watching how that played. And then Maryland came out and, you know, tweeted about it. It felt like you were handing them confidence. You're trying to, you know, get them in the right direction. Obviously, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But Penn State was playing on their heels. They were playing like they were expecting something bad to break at some point and just kind of went with it. So I don't like that approach. I don't know what the analytics say about where they were on the field and all that kind of stuff. But really not taking a chance to put the points on the board could come back and bite you. And luckily for Penn State, it didn't.
And by the way, there were four possessions that preceded that reached Maryland territory, and Penn State only produced points on one of those possessions. That touchdown drive, they had the Tyler Warren stop short on fourth and goal, and then they had two punts from Jordan Stout from the 42-yard line, which is just like, ugh, what a terrible way to end a possession. It wasn't like a fourth and short situation. I think it was fourth and 10 and fourth and 12, and they sent out Stout the punt, but it was like, can Penn State survive this the way they're playing right now to have four trips into Maryland territory and 7 points to show for it at halftime? This thing was rolling in the wrong direction coming out of the half. To Penn State's credit, they were able to right the ship and overcome that, and we didn't get it to it until after 20 minutes of this podcast. So that's the way it goes when you win games. James Franklin understands that. Sean, what do we got left? Anything else in the tank to get out on this episode? Jordan Stout, human after all. He was punting from the 42-yard line, so you weren't going to see the booming punts, but he shanked one in the fourth quarter, and he said, oh my gosh, he hasn't done much to make you kind of look toward his direction and say, what happened there? And then also, oh my gosh, the first kickoff return against Jordan Stout. We had to wait all the way to November. Worth the wait, though. It was a 12-yard gain, so it worked out for Penn State.
Yeah, you wonder if those kickoff guys are just like running down there, not expecting for any contact or anything like that. And all of a sudden they come out and stop Maryland at the 12-yard line. So good on them for continuing the hustle and everything like that. Yeah, Stout's human. It is what it is, but he's still a phenomenal specialist. And I mean, we're going to criticize that. I think that's probably his only shank punt this year, or maybe one of a couple of shank punts this year.
And he was not great last year. He was not good.
Yeah. He was not good last year.
Yeah, not good, really. Yeah.
This time he did a really nice job. Penn State even got some hidden yardage in there with Hartlob taking the block in the back that they, you know, he got flagged for the interference, but they pulled that one. It was a pretty obvious block in the back, but you'll have that. So So Jordan Stout, even in his bad games, continues to really do some good things.
4 seconds into the fourth quarter, it was 14-14. The final score, 31-14. The Nittany Lions win. Come on home. Play Michigan, who comes in again. I think looks like they're going to be a one-loss squad. Another challenge for Penn State, but a chance for them, again, to change the narrative after a really rough October. This is a starting point for them here in November, now 6-3 on the season. For our producer, Lance Glynn, and co-host Sean Fitz, we'll be back with you Monday. We'll take another look at this game, turn our attention back to the recruiting trail and to the next matchup against Michigan. I'm Tyler Donahue. We'll see you soon here on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.